Beyond the Basement podcast. Here we are at episode 24. If you're listening to this one, you're probably not listening to it on WCOV.live or WPub. Yo, I don't even know if my episodes have been reaching WPub since I've been home, which is fine. It's totally fine. Because it's a different process when I'm home versus me plugging in my laptop at the station when I'm at school. But yes, we are not broadcasting on WCOV this week for the holidays. Totally understood. So this is the low-key, for-the-fans kind of version of listening to today's episode. So if you're here, welcome. Glad to have you. And I've got some really cool stuff for this episode. I really am excited for the interview segment for today. It ran a little long. Normally my interviews are no longer than 30 minutes. This one was about 36, so hooray. There we go. Amazing talking skills. Not on my end, totally on my interviewee, and I'm very excited for you guys to hear that interview. Let's get into some tunes, shall we? It's about, Christmas just passed. I hope you guys had a pretty decent Christmas, all things considered, with the state of the world. And I also hope that your New Year's is not going to be stupid. And I hope you, if you're going to be seeing people, take safe precautions and don't see too many people. Please don't make it bad here so that we have to go into another lockdown. We still have the power to prevent that, but yeah. And I say here as in referencing New York, where I am proudly from, the cult state that I live in, that I have definitely joined the cult. So let's get into some music, shall we? The first artist that I'm going to be playing tonight, I have played in the past on this show, but it was kind of a unique thing because I was playing a live session with them. But this is finally the long-awaited release of Samsara's debut single. This track is called Nevermind, and it is by a band from Queens called Samsara. It's their first release that they have on Spotify. It is an amazing track, and the quality of this recording is out of this world. I've been bumping to this track a million times, at least 100 of those streams on their over 4,000 streams. It's probably me. Congratulations, guys. That is so cool. Your first release and you're already in the 4,000s. That is, you guys deserve it. It's so fantastic. I'm so happy for you guys. So let's play it. This track is called Nevermind by a band from Queens called Samsara. We'll be right back. Hope you guys dug that track, Nevermind by Samsara. I, for one, love that song so very much. It has found a nice, happy home in several of my playlists, and I'm happy to promote it no matter where I go, whether it's on this or just in conversation, talking to my friends about some of the amazing bands that I've played with in the past. I really love those guys, if you couldn't tell. My band Spitfire met them almost a year ago now. It's been over a year. Oh my god, that's so crazy. What is time in the age of 2020? But when we played the Knitting Factory for our first round in October of 2019, I want to say, we met these guys and they kicked ass, and they were on a couple more bills with us, and it was always a pleasure to play with them, and they're super nice kids. And I say kids loosely, because some of them are in high school, some of them are my age in college. You guys are awesome, though. Seriously, I cannot wait to get back to playing shows with you guys. I would love to hear your covers of Arctic Monkeys songs, because they kick ass on that stuff. They covered a Billie Eilish song. What was it? They covered Bad Guy once, and I was, like, blown away. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Super talented group of people. So go check them out. Nevermind, in all caps, by the band Samsara on Spotify or whatever streaming platform you prefer. You will not be disappointed. I promise you there's going to be relevancy to me talking about TikTok right now in a couple of moments, but I am going to talk about TikTok. So, I have blown up a little bit on TikTok over the past, like, week. I've been very shook over it, to say the very least. I am now over the 1,000 follower threshold, which means that I can do live streams now. Now, I know, like, no one's going to really care about a live stream that I do. I have nothing interesting to really say on the air unless I do. If I do, I don't know how to really promote it on TikTok, truth be told. But, like, it's just like a level up badge. It's like, yeah. It's like when you're playing a video game and you're, like, you're leveling up through the hard stages, and all of a sudden you unlock, like, this power or something that helps you get through the rest of the game pretty easily, and it's like, yeah, I earned that power. I got here. I don't know if I earned 1,000 followers. I mean, honestly, I just talked about Star Wars for 2 days, and all of a sudden I got, like, 400, 500 followers. I'm super excited about this one. Super punk. I am so here for this. So this guy's name is Mattstagram, and this is the song Gotta Be Productive that I found is a sound on TikTok. Looked up the original video, and now I am so excited to play it on my show. So thank you so much to letting me play your music, Matt. I'm very excited to play it. And here you go. Gotta Be Productive.
Wanna watch TV, but it's not productive. Video games are not productive. I wanna get sleep, but it's not productive. I still have it, ain't gotta be productive.
I'm so very happy to have some real hard stuff on the show here, too. That was cool. I love that song. I really do. Super punk. The fact that it's under 2 minutes reminds me, like, of the punk greats like Minor Threat and Black Flag, Bad Brains. Cool stuff. Super cool stuff. So thank you so much, Matt, for letting me play your music and keep doing what you do. I'm a happy follower of your TikTok account now, and I eagerly wait for more content. TikTok is the future. I don't know. I feel like the show is slowly becoming a TikTok propaganda show, but it's true. Like, I'm so just amazed by the power of TikTok, and that sounds stupid, but it's true. It's like, Instagram is still, like, I guess, the standard social media site for most things, at least if you're Gen Z and even millennial. But It used to be Facebook. I mean, I remember when I started playing music, everyone that I knew had a Facebook for their music page. They were like, you need to have a Facebook page. And I mean, even when I was trying to book shows, they were like, there was venues who were snobby and they were like, your Facebook page needs to have at least X amount of likes before you even consider booking you. I was like, Jesus Christ, Facebook page? Okay. So I made a Facebook page. I mean, I have one. We have likes on it and stuff. I made sure everyone that I knew that cared enough to like my page was like, can you please do this so we could play these snobby fucking venues that didn't even end up booking us? Yeah, no, it's crazy because I was like, that was the medium when I started playing music. I mean, I started early. I mean, I was like in music scenes by the time I was 13. I was the little guy in an adult music scene in a town over from me because my guitar teacher got me into that. And that's where I learned a lot of stuff. And I'm really grateful for that. I really am. So I learned a lot from people who were like three times my age in a lot of cases. So they all have Facebook pages. And that's kind of why I'm the way I am. I'm like a young boomer. I'm like one of the only under 20-year-old people I know who actually uses Facebook unironically. Instagram's always been kind of like the standard. I mean, I made a lot of business and connections through Instagram when I was younger. I made a lot of friends through that. I met a lot of bands through that. But it's kind of stagnant now. Like, I feel like I don't really meet people on Instagram anymore. It's not the app it used to be. It's not as user-friendly. Well, it is user-friendly, but it's not as, like it's not the up-and-coming thing anymore. It's still around. It still functions, and they copied TikTok with Reels, which, honestly, as an idea, it's objectively just blatantly ripping off TikTok, but I will say we post our TikToks on my band page, also to our Instagram Reels page, and it's a different algorithm. It's interesting. I'm like, trying to learn the way that it all works because it's a very fascinating thing with marketing and networking and trying to get your fan base up. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's not just about creating content. It's about creating content that people will want to subscribe to whatever you're about to say for. And it's working pretty well. I mean, it's not working astronomically well, but I mean, we were around like the 70, 80 monthly listener threshold before we started posting. Around Thanksgiving, me and Mike agreed, let's at least make sure there's at least one or three TikToks posted on the band page every single day. And we've been doing that. And since then, our monthly listeners have been pretty consistently going up. It dipped once 2 days ago, and now it's up again. So that's crazy. Honestly, it's very crazy. And honestly, now that I think about it, it actually makes sense that would have dipped a couple days ago because it was a holiday. Plus, people are probably on their phones. But, I'm genuinely so shocked. I don't know, yeah. One of those contrarian things that we say that makes no sense. At least that I say. But TikTok is just, it amazes me. If you're an artist and you're not on TikTok, I strongly urge you to reconsider that and make a TikTok, because this is all you gotta do. Be on TikTok, watch a couple of videos, see what's trending, and just try to copy the trends. I mean, it's so easy to just put a sound in or do something through a hashtag that a lot of other people are doing, because that's what people are looking at. I mean, I feel like TikTok is the most convenient app as far as finding people, like, looking for something. Like, on Instagram, you can put the same hashtag on something, and I feel like there's such a strong chance nobody's ever going to see it. But on TikTok, I mean, the way the algorithm is tailored is, if you put certain hashtags on it, like, people will see it, and that's crazy. People don't necessarily like it. I mean, my ratios are something that I definitely struggle with on TikTok all the time. Even the videos that I get a lot of views and likes on. I've got one that's like, oh my god, it's at like, it's in the 100,000s as far as views goes, but it's like 60,000 likes. I mean, as far as a ratio goes, that's awful, but as far as the fact that over 60,000 people are liking my video, amazing. So it's crazy. TikTok really does do the work when it comes to blasting your video to as many people as are going to see it. And as a musician, I think that's so useful. I think everyone should be on it because you make one viral video. I mean, you make any video, it has a chance to trend. It may not go viral, but you make a video, and at least there's always a chance that a couple hundred people might like it and see it, maybe more. So, I mean, it's so incredible that you can just do that and talk about your music, and people might do it. We have fans now. Like, we had, like, let me rephrase that. We have fans that we don't know now, and that's cool. That's really cool because that's just like, that's how you know it works. It's building a fan base, and that's how you stay relevant. That's how you keep growing. And you know, I'm so happy that people are liking what we have to say in our music and our posts, and it makes me really happy. It's people, whenever someone comments like, I have this song in my playlist and I really like it, genuinely, it fills me with so much joy, and I'm just so grateful for every single person, because I know it might not be in the thousands, but it doesn't need to be in the thousands, at least not right now. I'd like for it to be in the thousands someday. I'd like for it to be greater than the thousands someday, but for now, I mean, every next person that listens to my song, likes it, puts it in their library, and talks about it to their friends, or comments on our posts saying how much they like it, it's in my playlist, that stuff is... It's immeasurable, the amount of joy that it fills me with, and I'm so genuinely just so happy for that. And honestly, you know what? Some of the people that followed us on Spitfire's account follow me on my personal TikTok now. So if you're listening to this episode, because I have talked about my show a little bit in the past, if you're listening to this episode and you've been listening to my music a lot, thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you in our small community, and I hope we grow, and I hope you stay in the community as we do. But yeah, let's go back to a blast to the past for the third artist for today. My interview guest is not the artist that I'm going to be playing tonight, but it is an amazing interview nonetheless. So let's play a third artist, and then we'll get to that interview portion. So for the third artist today, I'm actually going to play my favorite song by a band called The Ned, whom I know from since I was about 15 years old, I want to say. I did a backyard show while they were on tour of the East Coast. They destroyed my pool, but it's all good. We fixed the pool. The pool works again. And I love them a lot. They're really cool. And they're also always welcomed on my show, as well as any of the bands that they're friends with in the Fort Lauderdale, Orlando music scene that they're part of. So this song is called Capsized by The Ned. It's an oldie. It's a classic. It's one of my favorite songs, period. And it's definitely my favorite song by The Ned. So I hope you guys dig it. Capsized by The Ned.
Oh,
Hope you dug that track, Capsized by the Ned, one of my favorite songs, period. And let's get into the interview segment for today with one of my best friends, Lucas Negron, who's been doing a lot of music stuff lately that you're sure to see in the near future. But until then, we have this beautiful interview. So enjoy it. Lucas coming up right now. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another interview segment for John's Basement Podcast. I am here so excited to have one of my amazing favorite people on this planet on the show, Lucas Negron, the man himself. Lucas, how are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have you on the show. I've wanted to have you as a guest since I started it, truthfully. So I'm hyped.
Oh, I'm hyped too, man. Thanks for all the props.
Of course. So, technically, you made your recorded music debut on my show, I want to say last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
It was like a week or two, yeah.
Yeah, with Michaela's new song, Long Way Down. You played an amazing guitar solo on it.
Thanks, man. First solo I've ever had to, like, try to do.
Yes, sir. Actually, no, yeah. you've been on recorded works in the past, too, right? You were on Lava Girl.
Yes. Yeah, I played four chords.
Played four chords. There you go. So you know, it counts.
Cool song.
Yeah, it's a cool song. So you're making moves. You got some solid session work already in the works.
That was cool to just be there and see people making music.
Dude, you're making the memories too. Also, I love the beard. No one's gonna see this right now.
Like the beard.
I like it. I'm a fan of the beard.
Thank you, man. I hate it, but thanks.
You hate it. It looks good. It looks good.
Thank you. I love your beard.
Thank you. Mine's finally coming back. I did the whole the mustache and then clean shaven for Halloween. Not a good idea.
You got it though. Yeah.
I got it back. Yeah, it's finally it's making its way back. So my first like question is where does music start for you? Where did it begin? What got you into it?
I was just talking to a friend about this. Like, I was not good at anything else. Like when I was younger, and the only thing I liked was music. Like really thinking about back now, like why I started, I think guitar. That's like the first instrument I played. But I was singing before then. When I was like 12, I took some lessons, and then I started playing guitar. That was like me just really going into it myself. Because I wasn't really. I mean, I wasn't good at sports, and I didn't really like him. I always loved music. I got into like Michael Jackson. He was like a huge inspiration musically. And then I started listening to more like pop punk when I was like 12. And then I got into music more so after that, started playing guitar.
I remember pop punk being the thing that started our friendship, if you think about it. Because I remember the way that we met, at least the second time, because there was that one-off crossover episode when we were like third grade.
I was just thinking about that.
yeah. But like it was all like when we actually like met. I remember I was probably 12 or 13. You were a year older than me, so 14 or 13 years old. CIT summer camp, and yes. I remember you came up to me. You were like, "Yo, you're in that band Fracture, right?" And I was like, "What? You know about that?" I was like so convinced, like no one knew about that. And then after that, we jammed, and here we are.
Here we
are. How many years later? Like, what, six?
6 years later, dude.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't that insane?
That is insane. That's not real. Dude,
that was so cool to me at the time because I was so – I was just playing Dookie on my fucking – on my Squire Strat for a while in my room. And I was like, it'd be really cool to either, like, meet someone in a band and play or just make any musician friends. So, like, when I saw that there was – you were in a band and you guys were good – I was like, oh, shit, this is way cooler than just, like, I don't know, just a kid playing in their room alone. I was like, this is, like, somebody actually doing that. So that was really cool.
It was tight as hell.
And you're a great person. So I was like, this is sick.
And then there's also, okay, so all of the musical collaborations that you've done, let's try to name them. You have the official and unofficial. I mean, so we've got Lava Girl. We've got Michaela Cookson. We've also got Secret Ballot.
Secret Ballot. What a throwback.
Secret Ballot. What was
such
it?
Good There's songs.
Behind Bars.
Yeah.
There's another one in here somewhere. I know I'm missing it.
I played with Peter's Band.
Peter's Band. Compatible Color. That's right.
Compatible Color.
We've got
the trio of Yumi and Jake for those random open mics.
Yes.
The unnamed trio.
Oh, that was a fun time too.
So many things.
So many fun things.
And I just remember you wanting that Daphne Stratocaster, and then you got it, and that was like, that's the Lucas signature guitar right there.
Bro, you don't understand. That was like the best. I remember it came, and I just like looked at the box for a while. I was like, holy shit, like this is really here. This is crazy.
In front of me, for real.
Yes.
So, I was so happy. You also did, this is going to sound like I did so much research. Even though I was there for it, I love this. So you also did musicals and plays.
Yeah,
so
I did.
You have a very well-versed background in the music and arts. So of all of those things, what are some of your favorite things that you've done with music of any form?
Really, my favorite thing was just playing with, like playing with you, playing with Jake, like, just playing with my friends. This is really the most fun times I've had. Even though I do, I kind of regret, like, not, like, taking advantage and loving, like, the musicals as much as I did when I was in them. So much work goes on behind that. So many, like, it's really cool to see the pit and stage production and the talented-ass kids who are actually doing what they're doing. I'm like, I should have, like, appreciated that way more, especially with our high school, because they put a lot of work into that. So that was really cool too. But like the most fun I've had was definitely just playing with my friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. It was there are some of my favorite memories are take place in Jake's basement. So
literally, bro.
Yeah, and that small ass room, that small sound treated room where it's just loud as shit and you can't hear anything when you walk out.
So loud.
The best stuff in the world. The best memories.
It was amazing.
And you got it. You're good.
There we go. Okay, keep going.
No, you're good. So, and then that brings me to the times that you did do the musical. So, Chess.
Yes. Chess.
Chess the musical, man. So,
those were fun.
What was it like for you, like, if you remember doing like auditions for that show? Cause I remember you worked your ass off for preparing for that role.
I did like vocally, man. Like I was so nervous. If you remember when we were there for rehearsals, man, I was so nervous. I like ran off the stage right after I was done. I was like, this is so like, I never like just sang on stage. I'd always either have a guitar and like four people with me. And it would, like, I don't know. So that was, like, scary to me. I just remember, like, trying to get there vocally. It's weird because now I feel like my vocal range has gotten better since then. But I was trying so hard. I was looking up vocal technique videos. I was spending, like, I get shy when my parents are here singing. So anytime I was alone here, I was just always working on, like, Pity the Child and the high note on that, man. That was scary stuff.
How would you say, like as far as vocal training? Because I know you've done a lot of different forms of vocal training before. Like, what are some of the things that you've done to, like, to practice?
Honestly, what I used to do was just sing, like, kind of go through scales, you know what I mean? Typically what they show you in warm-ups and stuff. But for me, I would just pick a song that had, like, let's say a note that was kind of in my range but not comfortably, you know what I mean? Just keep pounding that as much as I could. They say practice makes perfect, so you do get better. Like the range definitely improved from that, but it's still hard. It's really hard. you know what I mean?
Of course I do, man. No, I mean, and also it's funny too because I feel like when you get older your voice gets stronger just naturally if you keep singing. So like I remember there are sometimes I'll be looking at songs that I remember I have like so many voice memos on my phone of me just playing covers that I'll never put out to the world. It's like for me I'm like, all right, how do I sound singing this? And oftentimes it's like not good, so we're never gonna do that one. But it's funny because sometimes I'll listen back to some tracks and I'm like, I remember covering this like 3 years ago, and then I cover it now and I'm like, whoa, I can actually sing this now. That's like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, man. Literally so many songs that I'll have the stamina for now to at least make it through the end. And I'm like, that's crazy, man. Like, I feel like when my voice was higher, I probably should have been able to do it better, but I can do it better now. It's all just with practice and continuation, like continually, like your vocal range growing and getting stronger, because it's so weird how it really like got bigger since then, you know what I mean?
For sure. It's like it doesn't feel natural sometimes, and it's like, whoa, hold up, I can do that now, what the hell.
I was also like I was listening to different stuff. I feel like now I'm listening to music that has more like singers are riffing more in what I listen to, you know what I mean? A change from not like screaming back then, but just like kind of getting notes out like aggressively, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A difference.
Yeah, no, it's interesting too. I mean, you are also the first person, I think, to show me Kendrick Lamar. I remember you coming over and you would learn like the guitar parts for I. And I was yo, this song goes hard. And then, like, not long after that, I mean, To Pimp a Butterfly is still, like, my favorite album. So, like, it's crazy. Like, I know you have a very all-over music taste, which is cool. It makes for very well-rounded songwriting, which brings me to my next topic. Dude. You have been showing me some awesome stuff. I would just like to point out to the listeners, Lucas, my amazing guest right here, has been battling COVID and still writing music. So if that's not the most badass thing you've ever heard, you need to clean your ears out. So what's it been like writing the new stuff that you've been working on?
I mean, it's so, first of all, thanks, man, for that. But it's so weird. Like, I got Ableton like last year. So I've been, last year now. Just making beats every now and then, not even for stuff that I would like put vocals on. A lot of it's just like a lot of hip hop stuff that I'm just trying to get used to making anything, you know what I mean? Now I'm actually starting to put in stuff that I would like. That's really cool and fun, just to try to merge different styles together, I guess. I still want to be playing guitar in music I make, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. So I've been trying to like mix that with the production that I've learned on Ableton, which is definitely more like hip hop type trap type beats. It's definitely really fun to try to merge that with like different guitar sounds. Like I got a plugin that gives you like different pedals and amps and stuff like preloaded on your DAW. That shit is so cool, man. So playing around with that has been like the most fun I've been having, especially these 2 weeks I've been like trying to get more into it.
So, like, when it comes to, like, making, like, beats and stuff, because that's something that I am so bad at, I've never been able to figure that out. Like, what's the process like for, with making beats? Like, how do you do that?
Some people start with drums, but I could never do that. I start with either a melody I make in my head, on guitar or whatever, like, synth that I pick for the piano. Or I just try to, like, I'll play a note because I don't know how to play piano yet. I'm learning. So I'm not good at it. But if I play like a chord or a note, the cool thing is you don't really need to know music theory if you're making music. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So I can like play a chord and then go on Ableton and try to make a chord progression based off that, just clicking and dragging. And then trying to make it sound more natural, you know, like it's not just I clicked and dragged. It's really cool stuff. So I do, when I start, it's either melody or chord progression for sure.
Interesting. So I've been listening to the little things you sent me, and I love them so much. The guitar tones that you got on that, is that all plugins that you got there? Are you going straight into like an interface when you record the guitar?
Some like older stuff I sent you, I didn't have that yet. So some of it was with that because I would be using demos. Like they give it to you for like 30 minutes. So I try to just put that on the guitar sound and bounce it as quick as I can and make it an MP3.
But pretty sick.
Yeah, it's fun. It's stupid because, like, I'll go back in and it'll just be, like, a dry-ass, awful-sounding guitar tone. And I'm like, oh, it's because the demo expired, obviously. But, yeah, I go in and I pick it. I try to EQ stuff sometimes, but most of what I sent you is not, like, mixed, obviously. You can tell, probably.
It sounds good to me from what I heard.
Thanks, man.
I couldn't tell at all.
Thank you. It's really that that plugin. I use Bias FX, too. That shit like has so many cool guitar tones to it, and if you want you can put, they have like similar amps, you know what I mean, to different stuff. So like there'll be an orange amp in there, but it's not really orange. You press that, it'll give you a similar tone to that. So like, I just try to, I'm trying to like build my own sound, you know what I mean? Instead of just picking presets and using it. But so far, everything you've heard has just been pressing presets and then messing with the pedals.
That's cool though. I mean, that in its own way, I mean, messing with the pedals, that is still making your own sound. And it's cool. I was going to say like the orange amp, because you got that orange amp, your signature sound, your signature tone. That's cool too, because if like, God willing, the live music industry comes back in the near future, you can replicate the tones you hear on the recordings pretty close on in a live show, which is so sick.
It's so cool. I'm also learning more about like, I feel like before I was focusing on just guitar playing strictly and getting like a decent like distorted sound. Now that I'm making music, I'm like, how do I get a good tone? Like, how do I, you know what I mean? I'm focusing yeah. more on sound than being able to play well, even though you want both, but.
Yeah, but sound is so important, and tone is one of those things that I still struggle with. Like, I remember back in, like, when Nick was still in Spitfire, like, one of the amazing things that I admired about his playing was his tone was so good. Mm-hmm. Like, you listen to, it's funny, too, like, Nick was in the band for, like, almost a year, but, I mean, as far as recordings go, I mean, you only hear him on, like, Scrooge and Dance. But his guitar solo he plays on Dance is just, the tone is so perfect and so crisp. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, there'd be times we'd be in like practices together and he'd be like, oh yeah, no, you want to turn your mid down there and then turn the drive up here, that's what you want. I'd like, I listen to myself and I'm like, whoa, how did you know
for real?
Yeah, and it's just like, it's like tone is just one of those like super, because like, you don't need to have a signature tone to play music, but I mean, if you do have it, like that's like a signature thing that people will recognize forever. I mean, Slash's tone,
Kirk
Hammett has that wah pedal signature, so like that's like a little dated, like older guitarists, but like it's still
John Frusciante.
Oh my god, his tone is something else. I mean, his music. Yeah, have you listened to like his solo music before?
You sent me something that we didn't love.
Oh, or you put on your story. So that's probably his new stuff. So, okay, so he...
That was funny.
That was awful. Yeah, okay. So John Frusciante, as of recently, he started trying to mix beats. And I hate to say it, they're so bad. Like, his beats are trash. And he goes under the name Trigger Finger for, like, a lot of it. And I look it up and I'm like, this is so terrible.
No.
Before he was doing that, I want to say it might have been early 2000s. It might have been late 90s. I'm not entirely sure the time frame. But at some point between him being in the Chili Peppers, he released a couple albums where it's just, like, super raw, him playing guitar and singing. And it's, like, not super produced. It's, like, you can tell the vocals not poorly mixed, but they're not, like, it sounds almost like you're listening to a demo, but the songs themselves are like, they're so good. He's got a song going inside that's just like, but that song lives friend-free in my mind. It's like always just playing in the back of my head. I feel bad too, like I hear there's some such shit about him, so like I don't want to too proudly like cast him off.
Yeah.
But like as a musician, like his tone and his musical capabilities is just, it's otherworldly.
Insane, for sure.
I know a lot of people like John Mayer for the same reason. I've never like listened to John Mayer, but
I was gonna say John Mayer too.
Yeah, like I've actually like
his tone is great.
I'm a little ashamed to say I've never actually like listened to his music before, but like every amazing guitarist that I've ever met is a John Mayer fan. So I'm like, all right, there's something there.
Yeah, I only know like his hits and some cuts that like, you remember Max Kim? He showed me some
John Mayer
songs a while ago.
Wasn't Max really Kim cool like a stuff. Ridiculous guitarist too?
He's such a great guitar player.
Yeah, dude. There it is. It's like there's something about like his fans are just all like amazing guitarists.
Because he's an amazing guitarist too, bro. John Mayer is crazy talented. He's working on like hip hop songs too. He's working with R&B artists. He's working with like Daniel Caesar. He's working with Travis Scott. He's working with the Grateful Dead. That's an artist who can like.
That's a versatile dude.
Exactly. Survive like for a while in the industry.
I feel like you have to be like that too. Like there's so many you get so many like elitist assholes who are like, yeah, I only play metal. It's like, all right, where's metal gone in the past 10 years? Like you had your weird emo subgenre with like the not even like emo. I was like the Pierce the Veil edgy like sound, and then like that's not even around anymore, man. Who are you preaching to still?
Dude, I was talking to someone from school And he was like, yeah, like my friend showed me Frank Ocean, and I was like, what the hell are these lyrics even mean? Me and my friend were saying that, but we're big Nirvana fans. I was like, Kurt would just like write scribbles sometimes. Like,
yeah, I know. But like, Nirvana lyrics don't have like meaning.
Like a lot
so
of them don't
many
have meaning.
Of them. Yeah.
But I just thought that was funny. Like, I feel like it's just so many people that don't like, right? They just stick to that. They're like, no, this shit is like weird or bad. Like, they just strictly say it's bad instead of just saying it's not for them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And that's like, I don't think there's such a thing as a bad genre. Like, I think, because music's one of those things that it's just so subjective. Like, anyone can find appeal in something, you know? Like, there's a market and a niche for every community. And so I'm like, because I used to fall into that trap when I was younger, and I was like, oh, yeah, well, this music sucks. Pop music sucks. And like,
me too.
And now I'm like, no, this doesn't suck. Honestly, some of this kind of fucks. But at the same time, it's like, it's like, no, it's just maybe some shit's just not for me, and that doesn't make it bad. I'm not the be-all, end-all judge of what's good and not. I'm
exactly
just
bro.
A dude with my own taste.
It's funny, like two of my closest friends, like one of them, they both like different types of music, but one of them definitely likes alternative more, and one of them definitely likes hip-hop more. And when they talk about music, it's so funny. They both sound like parents hearing like your music in the car, like music that you like in the car.
What
and being
this,
like, what
this
is
this noise?
Yeah, they both will say that to each other. I'm just wow, this is so funny.
It's
a lot
just
of
like,
kids
yeah.
are like that.
It's like, it's also fun because like I'm really excited to see what we are like as old people, because it's gonna be so different. It's gonna be like when we're old as shit and decrepit and listening to the to like Highly Suspect.
Only their first two albums.
Only the first two albums. maybe Upper Drugs.
Yeah, maybe like Upper Drugs.
Maybe Upper Drugs. 16's all right. I like 16. It's catchy. But
the ones where he's rapping on it, I'm just like, I'm all for like an artist trying to be ambitious, but like,
gotta be good though.
Yeah, you gotta still make good music.
Yeah, it's tough too, because like, I guess, like that's like my thing too. Like I'm all for different sounds. I'm totally cool with like artists experimenting in different genres. Like, dude, Miley Cyrus's new album right now is so good.
I
have been obsessed with her new album like for the past 2 weeks.
I saw you play a solo on Instagram.
Yes, sir.
That was really good.
I
was like, wow.
Thank
that's
you.
On there.
I learned the solo to What the Fuck Do I Know, which is the first track off Plastic Heart. Super fun album, super fun song. Not all of them are even super rock, but it's all rock influenced. Billy Idol features on a track. Stevie Nicks is in a remix.
So
Joan
cool.
Jett did a song with her.
Yeah, Joan Jett did.
Yeah, it's like super cool. With that being said, I remember like Highly Suspect's third album. Come on, man.
Bro, I was so disappointed.
That song Fly, it's just
I don't know if that was the song with Young Thug, but I love Young Thug. And the second I saw on the track list that he was in a song, and then it also said Johnny, like it said the lead singer's name as
Johnny's,
a feature.
Yeah.
I was
terrible
like,
Johnny.
This is gonna be so bad.
Yeah.
And I heard it, and it was so bad. Yo, dude,
they don't. His Twitter is such a shit show sometimes. It's funny, too, because, like, I respect him, and I don't at the same time. Like, I'll listen to some of the things that he tweets. Like, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, he was just, like, very anti-masker. And
really?
He was like, learn science, dipshits, I don't subscribe. And I was like, dude, the CDC is science, and they told you to wear a mask.
Man, I don't understand how people can so confidently say things without, like, knowing 100% information behind it. I feel
I
like today we have people doing that so much, and they put it on social media, and it's like, you can never take that back. Like, people are going to know you with that opinion and associate you with that.
Yeah.
Go off.
Yeah, but I will say one of the best things that he did on Twitter was get into fights with Traps singer.
Really?
They had beef for a minute. He was like, I used to look up to you, bro, and like the Trap dude was like clapping back. Maybe he called him like a Bernie band or something like that. And I'm like, dude, this is just so petty. Trapped being allowed to post on social media is the worst thing they've ever had for their career. It's just so funny how like they were like a one-hit wonder headstrong band in like 2006, and they come back in popularity, but only for the sake that everyone is not buying their shit anymore. Apparently, the last show that they played in person, or one of the last shows, apparently the dude shit his pants.
What?
And then, yeah. And then had
sounds to. Sounds like G.G. Allin.
They played like two songs. He shit himself. And then they canceled the rest of the show.
Oh, no.
And
how did dude shit himself? He just couldn't hold it?
He just couldn't hold it. And, oh, my God, he was going on, like, his super, like, Trump rants on Twitter. And I saw this girl tweeted back to him, like, hey, I was in the second row when you shit your pants, still waiting on my refund.
Damn, imagine that.
What an awful, awful thing. Like, I don't, like, I don't want to empathize with that dude. He's a piece of shit. But, like, yeah. But what an awful thing.
Your legacy is being a shit person and you shit yourself in front of people.
To the point that your angry former fans all want refunds.
Bro. Speaking of that, swimmers.
Swimmers. Oh, man. Yeah, we could talk about swimmers for sure. Man, I keep
thinking about that, how sad that is.
That bothers me because, right? Like, it bothers me for a few reasons. I mean, one, because, I mean, you and I saw them when they were still up and coming. We saw them with Fidlar and The Frights.
Their first album was out.
I mean, The Frights and Swimmers both getting canceled for pretty much the same shit. And like, that's crazy because I mean, back then, I mean, I'm so glad Fidlar is still, from what I can tell at least. I look it up. I'm like, oh, did Fidlar do it? I really hope Fidlar didn't do anything bad.
I was looking it up too around the time. I was like, please, we have to have like one band that we could still like.
I know. But, yeah, no, like, it just, the second time I saw Swimmers, they actually were playing with The Regrets, and that's just, that's super sad to me, because that's, like, behind the scenes, that's, like, the timeline that's still going on, and it's, like, you want to say, like, oh, like, you can't, it doesn't even go as far as you'd be, like, oh, but it's just Joey Armstrong. It's, like, no, they all knew about it.
They all knew.
So, they're all bad. They're all guilty. They're just apologists for it, and that's tough, you know? It's, like, especially since they were one of those bands that was just so proudly feminist and proudly outspoken about doing the right thing. And it's like, you're all hypocrites. Like, you're preaching this at your shows every night, and then behind the scenes, one of your members is literally doing the things you say to fight people over.
Literally the day before he issued that apology, or like 2 days before, they make like six slide like essay. Talking about, like, safety in the scene.
Yeah, like, we're very lucky to have been playing music in such an inclusive scene. Like, shut the fuck up. You are the biggest hypocrites. And that's just, that's so, you know, it's heartbreaking. Because, I mean, it's like, it goes beyond the point, like, what they did. They're terrible people, and especially Joey Armstrong for what he did. But also, it's such a, as performers and as people with the platform, that's so irresponsible with the power that you have and influence. It's like, you're going to preach a specific message and not even follow it. I mean, and what's the example? Yeah, it's like, why are you using being a good person as a brand as opposed to just being a good person? And that's disgusting. I mean, you get all these people trying to get into music for those reasons, to be a good person and to spread actual positivity. And it's, you're when those bands don't take off and your shitty band takes off because you're taking advantage of people, like, that's just an awful, twisted message. That, like, I hate that like,
yeah,
that's why I had no problem unfollowing them and taking their songs out of my playlists and shit. So exactly. It's unfortunate, but it's like, you know what, no, I'm not supporting that.
Exactly. That goes for, I mean, like I said before, Michael Jackson was one of my, like, biggest inspirations musically, but, like, bad person, like, when you're thinking about controversy, it's weird separating music from the person. And I feel like it doesn't go both ways for so many artists. Like, there'll be so many people who are like, oh, I'm still going to listen to their music, but someone like Swimmers, they'll be like, oh, fuck them, you know, I'm never going to listen to their stuff. It's interesting how it goes both ways for so many people.
It's tough, too, because, you know, like, sometimes, this is like a little controversial thing that I'm probably going to say here, but, like, it's tough because sometimes it's like, what did they do? Like, how, like, because there are some artists that, like, there are certain things that are immediately like, I am not supporting this person. If it's any form of sexual assault or
anything
along those lines, without fail, I am unsubscribing to being on that newsletter. Like, no way. I'm not here for that shit. But it's like, it's shitty too, because, I mean, you get these murmurs of, like, how much of a piece of shit Roger Waters was from Pink Floyd. But, like, oh, man, like, Like, cause he apparently Roger Waters was very anti-Semitic, and I'm like, I'm even Jewish, man. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, the dark side of the moon, though.
It's so separating the musician, man.
It's tough. Yeah.
It doesn't mean you still can't. It's so weird when you have art like Pink Floyd. Their music is so influential in like that genre. So it's like, it's really weird to separate that. It's tough too, but just because you're, music that has been in your life, sometimes it's hard to let that go.
Yeah.
So you can still acknowledge the person being an awful person.
Yeah.
And still,
dude, one of the hardest ones for me was Brand New. Because Brand New
is hard for a lot of people.
Yeah. Brand New was one of those bands that like super influenced me as a musician. I listened to like all of their albums for years, and then things came out against Jesse Lacey, and I'm like, what an awful person. Like, it's hard. It's hard to, like, you got to stop listening to that stuff. Because, I mean, I think of it as a different way a little bit for newer bands versus older artists, too. Because, you know, as a musician currently on Spotify, knowing how every stream adds up to fractions of a cent, that being said, like, every stream I give this artist is money in their pockets that I don't think they should have. And like,
exactly.
And that's like, that's how I justify that. Like, I'm like, all right, well, you know what? I gotta stop supporting them. And even if I don't buy their merch anymore, dude, it's so sad. I have in my drawers right now, I have a Frights shirt and a Swimmer shirt just stacked on top of each other that I know I'm never going to wear again. I'm like, I don't want to donate them because it's like, I don't want their name being associated with anything anymore. It's like, I don't want people to have that. It's no more. Gotta get rid of it. I'll donate other clothes. Like, yeah, it's just, it's tough. It's so,
it's like a personal thing.
It is.
You love the, it is. Like, music is different, man.
It is. It's like you start to, especially with like lyrics and shit, like lyricists, you get like someone writes a song about something that hits home to you. It's personal. Like, those lyrics become an extension of yourself. And then once the musician comes out to be the worst person ever, it's like, oh,
it's like, wow.
And God, I resonated with you. Oh, exactly. No. Now I feel like a bad person.
You just hurt. It's like you trusted that. But that's, again, why I feel like it's tough to not want to like a person when you're into their music. You know, you look into an artist and you want to get to know them more.
Right.
But it, you never like are gonna know someone who's famous like that.
You know what they project, and sometimes they do a really good job at projecting what feels really personal. But I mean, truth is, all you know about an artist or a celebrity to any extent, it's what you hear in interviews and what their friends say about them, which is probably pretty favorable things. And
exactly.
And the people who don't like them, which are very clearly non-favorable things. So it's like there's a gray area. There's a gray space in between that. Like, you just, unless you're personal friends with that person, you'll never know.
You'll never know. It's insane.
But we all project. It's the crazy thing. We all do it.
Everybody does it. That's what life is, though.
So. Yeah, I find that so interesting. It's like you the artists that do so well are usually the ones who are super personable, and then sometimes a lot of them years later are super terrible people.
Exactly. It's so weird. That's why, like, I mean, again, that contradicts with what I just said, but like, you see the image of someone can appear to be so real that makes you want to resonate with them more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you don't even know if they are so real. Yeah. Or, like, they just appear to be.
I choose to believe that Donald Glover is real, though.
Oh, man.
That's one that I do believe is, like, the image he projects, at least now. Like, just his, like, dude, I respect Donald Glover so much. Like, that's, like, just listening to him in interviews is so funny sometimes. Like, he'd be saying some out-of-pocket shit, and people are like, whoa, and he's like, whoa, man, that's real.
Him and Tyler's also like that. Like,
yeah.
He just says whatever the fuck he wants to say. Bro, he won a Grammy and then called out the Grammys for, like, being racist, and he only won that category. Like, he was like, this is, like, not a rap album, but I won because they want to put me in an urban category. Like,
remember,
quotes, dude, around urban, you know what I mean?
Just, I was just talking about that with Michael, like, yesterday. That's, like, so funny. Dude, it's a funny thing.
It's cool when artists do stuff like that.
Yeah. Grammys.
Yeah.
I have my shit with the Grammys. I've been saying that forever. But my favorite one that's going around was in 2013, where it was like the best rap album. The candidates were
don't even say it.
Yeah,
I already
Good
know
Kid,
what you're
Bad
say.
City. All these amazing. What, Kanye
Kid
West
Mad City,
had
it. Yeezys was on it. Yeah. I think Drake was nominated that year. Nothing was the same.
And Macklemore won.
Bro,
mean to tell me you had the only white rapper in the entirety of relevant rappers at the time winning? Huh? Seems like
it's not even just that. It's not even just that. If you put like, let's say you put like a Mac Miller album up against like one of those artists, I love Mac personally, so
yeah,
I could see
Mac,
him winning.
Yeah, Mac.
But like Macklemore,
and also
no one,
if it was Mac Miller, no one would have been like beefing with it. But the fact
exactly.
that
exactly
Macklemore,
come on.
Come on, man.
Hell nah.
Bullshit.
Hell no. He even like he tried to play to that audience of like, oh, I didn't deserve it. Like I think he posted a tweet that he texted Kendrick and was like, oh, I didn't deserve this, blah blah blah. And Kendrick was like, dude,
just shut up. Just stop. Man. We love Kendrick, 5'7 King, repping
bro.
the short man gang.
Yeah, bro.
Hell yeah. If anyone, this is what I tell anyone who makes fun of my height, if you ever thought that Kendrick Lamar was a cool dude, I'm on his eye level, dude.
Exact bro, Uzi like 5'4, Lil Uzi Vert.
Yes, sir, yes.
And he's rich and people love him.
So you know what? Short Kings. Running the music scene. And
for
that's
sure.
actually just about all the time we have. This is awesome. This is an awesome conversation. Cool.
Yeah, bro.
Talking
really
about
cool
talking about
talk
some different shit. Absolutely, man. Yeah. We have to jam soon and play video games because.
Oh man,
I
miss beating
Fortnite,
you in Smash.
Oh,
I've been playing Fortnite every now and then with my friends. We suck, but it's mad fun.
Dude, I've been playing Fortnite. I was just playing Fortnite right before this interview.
I'm dead.
It's so great. It's so
that's
fun.
Awesome.
Still, it's still so fun.
We gotta play Mario Kart, bro.
Yo, for real.
Let me know.
Everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. This has been Lucas Negron, one of my favorite people on the entire planet. Check out any new things he's got coming on the horizon. I'll be sure to promote it all. Stay safe and wear a mask, dipshit.